Okay. Now, oddly enough, the gospel lesson here is not Acts, but in John. Well, what's the difference? Jesus is there. It's good news. Part of the Christ event, yes. So it's John. Well, I mean, at the very least, it could be Luke 24 with the ascension, you know. But John 15, 26, and 27. So on the Nestle text, page 302. And then skipping down to 4, Andy, like this, 4b to 11. Well, it is a little too selective. And, you know, the thing is, there's some interesting stuff in that intervening business. All right, let's start in at 15:26. When the paraclete elthe comes, notice elthe, that's third singular, aorist subjunctive active, and it's subjunctive because when he comes, and it's indeterminate when that's going to be. So that's future, and that's always indefinite. Whom I, Pempso, will send to you from the Father. Now, you'll notice that Pempo is used here, not apostello. Now, I don't think there's anything in this. John does tend to switch these two words around. Obviously, he's sending the paraclete with a mission, so apostello would be very good. But this is the more general word, Pempo, which I will send to you from the Father. Notice para, not apa. Generally in Greek, para is something you... he got it from his father and it was in his father's possession, that's para. But if you say something like, man ran away from the bear, that's apa. So this para, tends to be more that idea that it is the Father's Spirit kind of thing. The Spirit of truth, which para the Father ek paroietai, which proceeds from the Father. Now, remember, in the great strife with the Eastern Church in the 11th century, with the procession of the Spirit from the Father and the Son, this is a key passage. And all you hermeneutics guys, remember, the argument over the procession of the Spirit is essentially, in the West, a Christological argument. To say that the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son is to say that, level 2 interpretation, is to say that Christ, the second person of the Trinity, is co-equal with the first person of the Trinity. Whereas, in the Eastern Church, they did not like to do that because to say that the Spirit proceeds from the Son is to divide the unity of the Godhead. And so the image of the unity of the Godhead in the Eastern Church tends to be that of fountainhead or wellspring from which water flows out, from the one thing, the Father being the one. And so a passage like this would be a level 1 argument for the Eastern Church's understanding of it. Echinus, that one, martyresi, will bear witness, bear testimony concerning me. Now, what's Echinus? John uses Echinus the way most guys would use hutas. That is to say, you go back to the previous thing in the discussion, not the immediately preceding one. So Echinus takes you back to pneuma, not to Father. See? So it's not the Father will bear witness, but the Spirit will bear witness. And now this, I puzzled over, Andy, verse 27 is kind of interesting. And you guys are witnessing, or you guys witness, imperative, that from the beginning you are with me. So you could make this a statement, and you are bearing witness that you are with me from the beginning, or you could make this an imperative, and you bear witness that you are with me from the beginning. I'm not sure quite what to do with this. The thing about making it an imperative is I would almost think that you would get some sort of a thing like, gegunate, or some perfect of ginomai, or something, that you have been with me, or something like that. But I don't know. So if you take it as an indicative, you are bearing witness that you are with me from the beginning, it might work out better. But whichever way it is, I want you to see there that this is actually a Johannine version of the Lucan emphasis that there is this continual witness that the disciples bear to what Jesus was doing. Very important here. Yeah, 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 with the, you are witnesses of these things, right. Yes, yes, it sure can be. You could say, and you are witnesses, or you witness because you are with me from the beginning. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to see now in verses 4 to 11 this problem of the polysemy of huti. Let's briefly rip through the first four verses, though, that they're trying to admit. These things I have spoken to you openly, in order that you may not be scandalized, that you may not stumble. Apo synagogus, they will make you. They'll make you barred from the synagogue. But an hour is coming. Now, look what I'm going to do here. I'm taking hina epexegetically. That is to say, hour for something to happen, or that something is happening. An hour is coming for everyone who has killed you to think that he is prosperine, actually bearing a latrion, a liturgical sacrifice to God. Now, I like that present infinitive. Note it's not pros enenkein. And I specifically translated it the way I did because it is present, focusing on connection, and in this case, I'm taking it as emphasis, that the people who kill you will actually think that, or will think that they are actually bringing a sacrifice to God. And these things they will do because they did not know the Father nor me. But these things I have spoken to you in order that when the hour comes, or if you read out tone, their hour comes, in order that you, mnemonoiete, bear witness of them that I told you. Or it could be now, because I told you. That would also be a possibility. But he's saying this ahead of time, so that you will be prepared and you will be able to bear testimony. Bear witness? Mnemonoiete is to remember. That you remember these things, auton, them, because I told them to you. It was probably the best way to take that. Jesus is now preparing his disciples for what will happen. And notice here again, Andy, this is kind of an interesting passage. I had sort of forgotten about this for a while. You know, with all this business like John 6, would Jesus ever say something like John 6, which could be Eucharistic if the people didn't know about it? A lot of stuff he said, and you can say it right here, ahead of time, so that people would be prepared when whatever came to pass, they would be prepared to understand. Note how this is omitted. I don't know, what would you say? Is this kind of good feel lectionary or something like that, you know, where you leave out, you leave out the gory stuff of what might happen. 4b, these things to you from the beginning I did not say because I was with you. But now, hupago, that's intransitive, and it normally means to go or depart. But now I am going pros to the one who has sent me, and no one... Now, this is interesting. And no one of you, erota, inquires of me, asks me, where are you going? Now, it could be that he's asking him a question, or it could be it's simply a statement, and no one asks me, where are you going? But, huti tauta lelaleka humin... But because these things I have spoken openly to you, lalaleka we've had several times now. That's first singular, perfect indicative active. Laleo. Remember, laleo is openly speaking. Because I have openly spoken to you, he lupe, the grief, or we would say just grief, grief has filled your heart, pepleroken, third singular, perfect indicative, active from pleroo. Because I have spoken these things, grief has filled your heart. This may be the explanation why nobody asks where are you going, because they are grief-stricken. 7. But I, now note Jesus all of a sudden comes in with ego when before he just had the forms lalaleka. But I tell the truth to you. Sum ferai humin. Sum ferai is an impersonal verb and it means it is expedient. It's good for you. It is expedient for you. What is expedient? Hina clause of subject. That I op el tho, that I go away. For if I do not op el tho, if I do not go away, notice that those elthos there are first singular aorist subjunctive active from aelthon, augment goes off. Ha parakletos, the paraclete uk eloisetai will not come pros humas to you. But if I journey, paroitho, pempso, I will send him to you. Andy, you'll notice there, he's been talking about going away and so forth, and he says that it is helpful that I go away, and if I do not go away, and so forth. And then all of a sudden, he switches from erchomai to paroitho, and it brings the sequence to an end now, see? So, and if I do journey away, well, I don't think this is, this clearly cannot be different from me op elfo. If I do not go and if I do go, and he's switching vocabulary, I think, to bring the sequence to a close. And if I do go away, I will send him to you. 8. And elthon, upon coming, that one, he, meaning not you guys, not me, but that one, elenchsai. Now, elenko is one of the, it's sort of like davar in Hebrew or something. Elenko means to accuse people, or it can mean to rebuke people, or it can mean, it can mean rebuke, convince people, or convict people. So, in other words, you could, maybe if I put these in a little different order, you can see the semantic move. Rebuking people, it's kind of, you shouldn't do that. Then it could be convicting people, which would be bringing a judgment on them. And then finally convincing people, which is they accede to the judgment. That they actually say, yes, that's right. So it goes all the way from going na-na-na to the person saying, you're right, and putting them in prison or whatever, convicting them. Now, this is a problem that we have with this verb now from 8 to 11. Upon coming, that one will convince, convict, reprove. Reprove, convict, convince. The world, what? Concerning sin, concerning righteousness, concerning judgment. Three things. Now, look what happens. He's going to elenko concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment, and now we have your huti clauses. Concerning sin, that because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, that because I go away to the Father and no longer do you see me. And concerning judgment, that because the ruler of this world, kekritai, third singular, perfect indicative passive, stands judged. Now, this is really a fascinating text. You talk about polysemy with the different meanings possible. And then, you know, and even if you take, Let's just take them as because for a second. Look at the interesting situation you get into with the first one in 9. Concerning sin because they do not believe. In other words, they don't believe and he accuses them. But the next one, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and no longer do you see me. Well, their because must mean it's not their problem, but he's doing it because I can't do it. See, I go away and he's got to come because I am going away. And then what about the third one? Concerning judgment because the ruler of this world stands judged, is that something like this? He is able to do it because, in other words, you're saying he is able to do it because, not he has to do it because I go away, or he ought to do it because they sin, but he is able to do it because the ruler of this world is not in control anymore, and that's why he can do it. So if you take it as because, not that, you would have three different longhands of the Hutti shorthand. The first one would be concerning sin, he has to do it. He ought to do it because they don't believe. Concerning righteousness, he has to do it because I can't do it. And concerning judgment, he's able to do it because the world. Now, this is, Andy, this is the flip side of the notion that you change for the same construction, you use the same construction for different meanings. Yeah, and I've got a few examples of that. This is probably the best one. Let me just say here, and we'll have to draw it to the close. You could take Hutti as that, as an object clause, and especially in verse 9, that works. Concerning sin, that they do not believe in me. That would work. But he does not accuse or convince or convict them concerning judgment that the prince of this world is cast out. I mean, that doesn't even work right. So I tend to think either that some Huttis are because and some are that, or that they're all that because, except they all have different meanings, one or the other. This is a very challenging text in terms of doing the exegesis of precisely these three verses here, four verses at the end. What was it? Huh? That? As object? Accuse me concerning righteousness that I am going to the Father? Like how?